Please take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And verse number 6. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 6. The Apostle Paul speaking here says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that we could open your word today. And God, I pray that your name would be honored and glorified through all that is said and done. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The first part of chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gets a rare privilege, and God takes him up in a vision to get to see heaven. Amen. And now, the average independent Baptist preacher today, if he was got to go up to see heaven and came back, he'd write a book and go on a tour, amen, and make a lot of money, all right, is what we would do today. But here's the Apostle Paul, had that privilege. And in verse number 6, Paul makes this statement, "For though I would desire to glory." Now, think about that. Let's say your pastor got up here this morning and told you as a church, "You know what, as your pastor, I just want to brag on myself for a little bit." What would you think of your pastor saying that? You'd say, "Well, that's wrong. That's terrible. The Bible teaches us that we ought not to do that. The Bible says we are to be humble, that we are to esteem others greater than ourselves." What does our pastor think he's doing on bragging about himself a little bit? And we would agree that that is wrong. And here's Paul, though, the great apostle Paul, of all people, saying that he had a desire to glory. What on earth is he thinking? Why on earth would Paul ever say something like that? Well, do we ever have a struggle with trying to desire to glory? Amen. As a spouse today, if you're here, have you ever thought your spouse is lucky to have you? Amen. Have you ever thought about your kids? Are they ever lucky that they're born into this family? You know what we're doing when we do that? We're desiring to glory. Have you ever made statements, "Where would this church be without me?" Right? "Boy, you know how much money I put in the offering plate over the years in this church?" You know what we're saying when we're doing that? That we desire to glory. As a pastor, I took over a church at an older building, and over several years, we did a lot of remodeling. And I remember one time looking around the building and saying, "Man, I've done a pretty good job here." You know what you're doing when you do that? You're desiring to glory. Now, that is a fleshly response, a fleshly thing that can come up in every one of us. And every one of us struggle with that temptation to glory, to brag on ourselves, to lift ourselves up, and to make ourselves feel greater than we actually are. In the eyes of God and in the ethos of this world. Amen? But the Apostle Paul goes on in verse number 6 and says this, "I shall not be a fool." Yeah. Now, it's one thing to maybe think, "My wife is so lucky to have me." But then I need to remind myself that, no, she's lucky that the Lord saved me. Amen? And that I have Jesus Christ dwelling within me, and that God is a part of our relationship. See, the temptation can be there for us to lift ourselves up and to brag on ourselves. And you as a church this week, the temptation could be there to say, "We are now in the club. We have now helped birth a church. Not many churches across this country have not birthed churches. And those temptations can rise up and we can get that sense of, boy, we have accomplished something. We have achieved something. And I've seen that in churches in our history, churches will brag on that they have achieved this level or they have done this or they have been involved in these things. And those temptations are there. But the Apostle Paul says, I shall not be a fool. Now, why does Paul say that? If you look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a debate going on in the church. Some said, I was led of to Christ by Paul. And others are saying, well, I was led of Christ by Apollos. And Paul makes a statement to the church. And I love what he says. He goes, who on earth is Paul? Who is Apollos? He says, you're carnal for even thinking that way. And folks, every time we have those temptations to build ourselves up and to brag on ourselves and to think on ourselves, we need to remind ourselves, who am I? Who are we? And we got to remind ourselves that we're being carnal and we're thinking in a carnal, fleshly way. Paul goes on to say that he has planted and Apollos has watered. Amen. We got this church plant going on starting tonight. Amen. We're excited about that. And looking forward to Get Acquainted meetings, the first service next week. And you know, your pastor and many of you folks here today have planted. And Brother Drinker and his family have been involved and they have been watering. But most of you know how that verse ends. But God gave the increase. Amen. The reason why the Apostle Paul here says, I desire the glory, but he says, I don't want to be a fool. He says, I'd be an absolute fool if I gloried in myself, because he realizes that nothing was accomplished except God working through him. We are his tools. We are his instruments. We are the things that God wants to use. None of us have ever watched a championship game. Maybe your favorite sports team is playing basketball. It's the final game of the championship. Whoever wins the game wins the national championship. There's 2 seconds left on the clock. Your team is down by 1 point. Your favorite shooter shoots the ball up in the air. The ball's in the air. While it's in the air, the buzzer goes off. Everybody's watching that ball. And nothing but net. The crowd goes wild. They all storm out of the stands and they pick up the ball and they put the ball on their shoulder and they're pouring Gatorade on the ball. No, that never happens. They all jump on the guy who shot the ball. See, we are the instrument. We are the tools in God's hands. God wants to work through us. God wants to use us. God wants to accomplish something through us. And so we are privileged that we get to be his instrument. We are privileged and honored that God wants to work through us. But it is God that gives the increase. It is God that accomplishes everything. It is God that brings the results that are going to last for eternity for his honor and for his glory. He goes on and he says, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above which that he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. See, one of the problems we still have 2,000 years later, there's Rick Rost, then there's your pastor, and you esteem him even greater, Lord willing, praise the Lord, amen, nothing wrong with that. But then there's the Apostle Paul. We're never going to match up to the Apostle Paul. That's how we think, because we think humanly. Who am I? I didn't write most of the New Testament. Who am I? I didn't go and do all these missionary journeys and plant churches around the old and old world. Who am I? I'm not the great Apostle Paul. I'm just Rick Rust. And Paul says, listen, I don't want to be lifted up above what people should think of me. And he did not want to be put up on a pedestal. He didn't want to be worshipped. He didn't want to be admired as a great being, because he realized that all that was accomplished to him was of God. And he wanted the honor and glory to go to God. Amen. And that's the spirit and attitude that we need to have. And he goes on here in verse number 7. And God, I love this. You know, Paul goes to God and says, God, I don't want to be lifted up. I don't want to be looked higher upon than I ought to be. And God says, let me help you with that. And he says in verse number 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So God puts a thorn in the flesh of the Apostle Paul. Many people focus on what is the thorn in the flesh. That's not important. God did not list that. If you want to know, ask your pastor after the service. I agree with him 100%. Amen. Whatever he thinks it is, I'm fine with that. All right. And because that's not the important part of this passage, what the thorn in the flesh is. But we know that God put something in Paul's life to make his life more difficult. Isn't that exciting when God does that? I mean, don't you just love that? You know, my wife and I, we sold our house. We sold most of our possessions, or we gave most of it to our kids. They were hovering around like buzzards, and they stole it all. My kids are all married and moved out, so they remodeled their homes while we sold out. And now we live in a fifth wheel. You know what? I've never had to change the brakes on my house before. I've never had to put new springs on my house before. Right? We're running into problems and difficulties I never imagined happening in my ministry. And God brings things into our lives. God brings difficulties. God brings hardships. And yet we say, hey, you know what? We want to serve God. Your pastor's asked you to go all the way to Leawood several times. And thank God many of you have done that. And he's asked you to go there again tonight. And he's asked you to go out throughout this week. And that's it's a bit of a drive, amen? And it's going to cost you some fuel, and it's going to cost you some time, and you're going to get in late, and your kids aren't going to get to bed on time, and it's going to be, you know, but you, some of you say, hey, praise the Lord, we're helping to start a new church. It's going to be great. Amen. And then the next morning, your kids are too tired, and they're grumpy and all this stuff, and you're thinking, what? I've served God, and yet I'm going through a hard time and a difficult time. And so Paul was a man, and what does he do next? Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Ladies, I'm one of those guys. When I get sick, I have an unbiblical theory about why men get sicker than women, but I tease my wife about that. All right? It's not really a biblical principle here, but you know, I'm one of those guys. I go and buy every pharmaceutical drug there is for that on the counter. I got to get this out of my life. I am the type of person, I say, God, why on earth would you make me sick? I'm serving you. I'm a busy guy. I've got things to do. You know, Brother Metzinger's got time to get sick, but I don't. All right. And that's kind of my spirit, my attitude. And I don't like this. And I want this out of my life, and I want it out of my life now. Isn't that human nature? When we have hardships come and we have difficulties come, when we have dark days that we are facing, we want them to go away. We want them solved right then and there. And the Apostle Paul says three times, Lord, please take this out of my life. Please take this out of my life. God, I'm begging you, please take this out of my life. God gives the answer in verse number 9. God speaking here to Paul, he says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Have you ever had a really tough time, dark days? You're laying there in bed, or you're sitting there in your chair, and you're down, you're discouraged. You're wondering how you're going to go on, or should you keep serving the Lord? And somebody comes along with a smile on their face and says, just trust Jesus. And you just want to kick them. All right? But you know what? That's very biblical response. That's what God's saying here to Paul. Paul says three times, God, please take this out of my life. Please take this out of my life. And God comes alongside, puts his arm around him and says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, what's that talking about? We are saved by faith through grace. Or saved by grace through faith, right? We are saved by grace, the Bible says. It's by God's grace that I am saved. What does that mean? Well, when I was 16 years of age, I thought I had life figured out. I was raised going to church. I didn't want to go to church anymore. And so I came up with my own religious system. It's a system you've probably never heard of before. But I thought if my good works outweighed my bad works, I'd get to go to heaven. All right, I honestly thought I was the only person on earth to come up with that one. I have since learned most of the world believes that if your good works outweigh your bad works, you're going to go to heaven. And somebody had to come and show to me from God's word that I was a sinner before God and I could not save myself. I couldn't come to church enough. I couldn't give enough money to church. I couldn't do enough things for God in order to earn my way to heaven. So here I am, 16 years of age. I am lost. And now I realize there's nothing I can do to save myself. Then they shared the gospel with me. I grew up going to church, and you know, there was a Jesus on the cross, and it hit me. If I could save myself, why did he have to die on the cross? And somebody shared with me the truth of God's word, that Jesus Christ has done it all. It is by his grace, it is by his enablement, I am saved. Amen. And we understand that. And today, if you've never heard that before, if you're sitting here this morning and you thought, boy, you know, I'm a pretty good person, and I think my good works will get me to heaven. At the end of the service, there's going to be a time of what's called invitation, an opportunity for you to come and speak to the Lord. And I'd encourage you to let somebody do what somebody did for me one time and show you from God's word how you too can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so here we understand today as believers that it's by God's grace, his enablement, his empowerment, I am saved. All right, we get that. We understand that. We have that nailed down in our lives. But now here we are serving God and difficulties come. Hardships come. Dark days can come. We can be rejoicing one day and be down another day. As a pastor, I knew what it was like to come to church and leave church Sunday morning on a cloud. And Sunday night, wondering, am I in God's will? Amen. The Lord lifts us up sometimes. The devil will come and try and knock us down. And we have our ups and our downs. But God is saying here, my grace, my enablement, my blessing in your life is sufficient. Now, if his enablement is sufficient enough to forgive me of all of my sins, cleanse my heart, make me a child of God, and help me to understand that one day I'm going to spend eternity in heaven forever and ever, and I'm going to receive all of the splendor and all of the glory and all of the blessings of heaven. If God's grace is great enough for that, is God's grace great enough to help me through this day and through this time? And so we see here, as he goes on in verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. And see, folks, this here is the key to it all. See, we're tempted to be lifted up. We realize we ought not to be lifted up. God sometimes brings things in our lives to help us stay humble. He then says, now listen, my grace is all you need. I can enable you. I can help you. I can get you through the Christian life to do great things for me. And he goes on to say here in verse number 9, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? See, if I were to come here today and say, folks, you are so lucky that I'm preaching for you today instead of your pastor. I am amazing. I would be up here in my own power, my own strength, in my own flesh. If BCPM rolled into town and said, everything's going to be great because BCPM is here, we would be in our own power and our own strength. Your pastor could get up and say, South Knollwood Baptist Church is the reproducing church. Everything's going to be amazing this week because we are in control. That would be in our own power, in our own strength. But you know what I need to do, what BCPM needs to do, what South Knollwood Baptist Church needs to do? We need to realize that before God, we are his instruments. We are his tools. We need to empty ourselves of our flesh. empty ourselves of our will, empty ourselves of our desire. And folks, when we get to that point, I picture God up in heaven with a big smile on his face. And he says, finally, finally, he's wanted to use us. He's wanted to work through us. He's wanted to do great things in our lives. And we fought him and we tried to do it in our own power and we tried to do it in our own strength. And I've had times in my life, you know, have you ever been kicked once? And you, yeah, I can be kicked once. I can handle that. You get kicked twice in the same day, and you think, oh, okay, it's going to be a bad day. Three times in the day, and you're thinking, man, this is tough. Have you ever had one of those days you said, the next guy who kicks me is going to get it, right? You just say, I can't take it anymore. And that's what we need to get before God. We say, God, I can't do it anymore. It can't be me. I can't do it in my own power. I can't do it in my own strength. God, I need you. I want you to work through me. I want you to accomplish something in your power and in your glory. I love what Paul goes on to say here in verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm 54 years old now. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I've had days where I wake up in the morning. All right, your pastor's still young enough not to experience this. But, you know, it takes several steps to stand up straight. All right? I can see by faces. Some of you understand. All right? I've woken up in the middle of the night before and my joints hurt. I said that one time. I was about 45. I said that to one of the older folks in our church. He goes, don't worry. It'll only get worse. I'm like, this is great. I've gotten up in the morning and it takes several steps before my feet stop hurting. But you know what I've never done is I've never gotten up and go, oh, praise God, hallelujah, start doing cartwheels. My body hurts. I've never rejoiced in my infirmities that way. I've never gloried. He goes on in verse number 10 and saying, I take pleasure. How many of you take pleasure in your infirmities? In being reproached, in necessities. Could you imagine not knowing how you're going to feed your family tomorrow? Rejoicing in that? In persecution, in distresses? How could Paul rejoice in that? How could Paul glory in that? Because he came to the realization that when these things happened, that it reminded him he needed to get on his knees. And he said, God, I can't do this. I can't accomplish this. I need your power. I need your grace, your enablement. God, I need you to work through me. And Paul knew that every time that he got to that point in his life, that God would do great things. And that's why he could rejoice. And that's why he could glory. Amen. That's why we should have it when a problem happens in our life. We go, hallelujah. Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? My teenager just yelled at me. Isn't this great? Because now I can get before God and say, God, help me. I need your power and your strength. And God's going to use you and work through you and mend that relationship with your teenager. And it's just going to even be stronger because you're putting your faith and dependence upon God. And it's just a wonderful time. Folks, we don't do that many times because we handle our situations in life in our own power, in our own strength. When difficulties come and trials and tests come, how are we going to respond? Are we going to empty ourselves and put our faith and dependence upon him? When we think of reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we think of, and we are rejoicing today in seeing a new church being birthed in Leawood, but yet your pastor's already saying, wouldn't it be great to start another one? And you're thinking, let's just get through this one. Right? Could you imagine, ladies, you're about to give birth, you're in labor on the way to the hospital, and your husband says, wouldn't it be great to have another one? And you're not thinking of the next one yet, are you? Right? But yet there's more communities that need to be reached here in the Kansas City area and throughout the state of Kansas. And yes, even in Samaria, over there in Missouri, amen, needs churches. They need Christ. And you're thinking, how can it be done? How can this church accomplish something great? Well, as it says again in verse, the end of verse 9, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. The greatest need in the church today in America is the power of Christ resting upon them. Could you imagine the power of Christ resting upon churches like this one across this nation? The power of Christ working through local churches across this nation. Just think of the revivals that would be breaking out. Just think about communities that would be won for Christ. Just think of how many churches would be planted across our nation. Why? Because the power of Christ is resting upon a church, upon a people, in churches throughout this land. May God help us today to understand the great need. That for us to accomplish something great for God, we need the power of Christ resting upon us. It's not going to be the name of this church. It's not going to be the help of BCPM. It's not going to be because Brother Drinker's the greatest thing that ever came to mankind. It's going to be the power of Christ working through individuals in the community of Leawood that'll establish a church that'll honor and glorify him. And it's the power of Christ resting upon this church that'll help you to see this community one and your Judea and your Samaria reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ as the power of Christ rests upon you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And God, I thank you that the power of Christ may rest upon us and something great could happen for your honor and glory. God, we thank you for all the things that are going to happen this week. And God, help us to remain humble and give you the honor and give you the glory for all that will be accomplished. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.